Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is Wednesday. Just got the first practice report, just finished up the Shanahan presser and, you know, some of the locker room interviews and all those stuff. And just wanted to come on live. Want to talk about a couple different major topics. Injury report for sure. Obviously didn't go well for the 49ers. Shocker. Eagles, a little bit different story. But the theme I want to talk about today is the 49ers defense really that bad? Shout out to my man, Tom C. And again, before we dive into 49ers stuff, have to give a huge shout out to my man, Neil. He is going through a lot with brain surgery craziness. And just want to let you know, man, we love you. And we are fighting for you. And we are praying for you and trying to uplift you. Just want to let you know we are in your corner, man. Hopefully everything goes well with everything. Now, this is episode 1589 of the 49ers podcast. And I ain't going to lie. Today started off kind of funny. You know, in one of the rants post-game, I said the line, quote, Ricky Pearsall sitting on the sideline looking all cute and handsome, not doing shit, end quote, which whatever. I don't even remember saying that, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, social media guy, Eric, the man, Eric Meisner, he's a legend. He put that up on Instagram, and apparently Ricky Pearsall liked that one, publicly liked it. And so I don't know what to do with that information, but I do like it when people can take criticism. We're Ricky Pearsall fans here at this, you know, 49ers show. It didn't start out that way. Hated the draft pick. Showed he was a perfect scheme fit. Has played great. Just can't stay on the field. And to make things worse, didn't practice today either. And so I go back to Kyle Shanahan. Again, Kyle Shanahan fan, but doesn't mean we're not going to have nuanced take. That dude lies his ass off about injuries. He was asked in the post game, if the game was on Sunday, would Ricky Pearsall and Trent Williams have had a chance to play? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they would have been able to. We got screwed over. And neither one of them are even practicing on Wednesday. 4 days later. So Saturday, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Still not practicing. And so take that for what you will. Kyle Shanahan, believe him. He's a great coach. So thankful he's coached the 49ers. Hope he stays the coach for a very long time. Definitely has some issues. And I don't think it's necessarily a negative when he lies about injuries from the podium. Just understand that. And, you know, every time I put never trust Kyle Shanahan about injuries on social media or on this show, I get a lot of flack for that. How are you going to say that about our head coach? That dude just blatantly lies through his teeth consistently about injuries. He thinks that it gives him an advantage, and that's what he does. So anyway, take that for what you will. Ricky Pearsall not practicing today. It's a killer, man. Thank you all the hashtag CCs. You guys are best. Happy Wednesday, everybody. That's right, Daniel. Appreciate you. Hey, Sin. Big Tone. I love it. Everybody showing up. I love it. I love it. I love it. Big Tone. He says, I got you. It's too late now, but I wish Marquis Siegel was starting at safety. Wish I felt he's better at than Brown. Definitely a better tackler. Definitely a better tackler. I think everybody agrees with you. And it's weird, you know, we're going to talk a lot about the defensive tape. I do not expect Marquis Siegel to play. If you're going to make any changes, that should have happened before the playoffs start. But it is clear they're rocking with number 27. That ain't going to change. Probably the worst tape I've ever seen here in a couple weeks in a row. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse, probably about six straight weeks. He had that two interception game and he has made some splash plays, but yeah, I think that was a huge fumble. Probably the worst play I've ever seen. You have the play where they throw it to Jaxon Smith-Njigba on the sideline. 53, horrible coverage, staring at the quarterback, late to the flats, misses a tackle, and then JSN starts, you know, screaming down the sidelines. Jair Brown pulls up and shrieks and doesn't want to make contact, like literally stops way before he stepped out of bounds. And it's just like, wow, like, You know, I know on the John and Wayne show, we were talking about, and I said, like, dude, that dude doesn't like contact. We're going through the tape on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. We go through every offense, defense, special teams play. Past 4.5 seasons are already up as soon as you sign up. And, man, I counted, I think it was 5 plays in the first half where he was scared of contact. Games on the line, number one seasons on the line, all those things on the line. 27, just, I don't want to really play defense. I don't want to make contact with that guy. He shied away from Cooper Kupp one time, like was just terrified of Cooper Kupp. And another time, Cooper Kupp literally just didn't even extend his arm, just put his hand on his shoulder. Dude went flying. The coach in me can't get behind it. Maybe he goes out there, plays well, can't play worse. But yeah, I would feel a lot better about Siegel. Not going to happen. I'm pretty damn close to zero. Why would you make that change going into the playoffs? If you haven't made it yet, he showed you who he is. You gave Siegel the chance. Now, that's probably the take. They gave him a chance. They gave him the job to start. And he gave up a deep post over the middle, single high coverage. And Shanahan got pissed off. Never got the job back since. Now, the funny thing is, Jair Brown's done that probably 4 or 5 times. Exact same situation. Single high coverage, cover 3, middle safety. Give it up post for touchdown, post for touchdown, post for touchdown. Rushing, the only touchdown in the Seahawks game was Jair Brown. Good gosh. Dude's given up so many touchdowns. But take that for what you will. I'm great, Sin. A lot of people asking, you know, if I feel it better, I feel it better. I got my first workouts in yesterday from being sick. Got me a nice little run in, was feeling great. So back to normal. Thank goodness. Sick twice in 3 weeks. This happens every football season, by the way. Ever since I coached, we're going 20 years almost straight. I put out too much. It's you only got so much. And now I'm me and Ricky Pearsall on the sideline. And that's just what it is. But I'm doing great. And I really do appreciate everybody that cares. Very, very kind. You guys are the best. I'm great. I'm in great shape. So about to go work out after this show. So feeling good. Things are good. Things are good. Aussie says, my man, where am I meeting you all next year? Thinking Dallas as it's one plane trip. Ooh, yeah. Well, I have 2, like 49ers football. I don't know what you call them. I'm going to continue to do these for as long as I am health and financially able to. My goal is to never miss a 49ers Cowboys game in person ever again, ever again. And my second goal, things that I have control over, is to never miss a 49ers international game again. I've been to the Super Bowl. It's cool. Way too expensive. Not near as fun. Corporate, no fans there. There are fans there, but I don't know. I'm not a big Super Bowl guy. I hope I never attend a Super Bowl again. But international, that is cool. That is all fans. That is just such a cool atmosphere. So, yes, next year, 100% will be in Dallas, Kansas City, Atlanta. I've got family out there. So those 3, 100%. And then, of course, Seattle, I'm going to that one. Arizona, I'm going to that. And actually, we haven't done LA in a while. But I now have contacts that can host a great party. You know, whenever they built the stadium out there, LA is weird. I lived in LA for a long time. I like LA, but from a hosting an event standpoint, man, there is not a great location. In Inglewood, where they built the stadium, was awful as far as like hosting events. Well, now here we are 5, 6, 7 years later. Now there are venues. And so now we have venues. Now we have places that are reaching out to us. Pretty cool how the 49ers Rush Road Trip now plays are reaching out to us. So I'm going to have an LA party next year because they play the Chargers at SoFi and they play the Rams, obviously. So we're going to organize something depending on the way the calendar works. And another thing it works, you know, I didn't do this Philly trip. I needed a break. I don't want to go to Philly, whatever else. But if the 49ers win, ain't going to lie, conversations are in the place about chartering a plane to the divisional round. And we're trying to set this up some next year, probably for the Dallas game or KC game, which I think are going to be our 2 biggest events, depending on scheduling. But man, we're trying to figure out a way. Let's step it up, right? I never want to be complacent. I want to continue. And so like, we're looking to charter like a plane of 49ers fans that want to travel together to the divisional round from the Bay Area. We're working on that. The logistics, the expenses, got to make sure it's practical. I mean, I got to pay for the whole damn plane if we're going to do it. So then I'm just like, dude, are people going to come? But why not? Like, how cool would that be? Take a whole freaking plane Why not? Let's dream big, right? So, Aussie, I will be in all those places next year. And when the schedule comes out, yeah, next year's Rush Road Trip is going to be awesome. I'm not doing 9 trips, but probably 5, 6, 7. I think I'm going to cap it at 7. We'll see what it is. It's what it is. John, I thought to myself, I wonder if the Niners listen to your show. I don't think that they listen to our show. I know a lot of family members do. I know a lot of agents do. I think a lot of players scroll social media, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, whatever else. And so, like, we have presence on those, so those do show up. But yeah, it is funny whenever, you know, I don't talk about a lot of the interactions I have on here, but yeah, I've had agents, you know, argue with me and reach out to me, and I've had family members do the same. Usually we're pretty positive, and so we try to stick to positive stuff. It doesn't always happen after bad games, especially whatever shows like that happen. But you know, we're a small podcast. We're not one of the bigger followings, and I don't want to be one of the bigger. I like where we are. I like where we are. We are in a very, very good place. That I'm cool with where we are. Very, very happy. All right, we got a couple super chats I want to get to. Tommy, love you, man. Really good friend. Great dude. Tommy, thank you for the super chat. He said, "Dad survived death in an aneurysm. Go Niners." And, you know, Tommy has been keeping us up to date with what's going on with his dad. And so thank you for sharing that. You know, we're a community here. And that's never going to change as long as I'm up here recording. Like, we're here to talk Niners, but we are a community, period. And especially like when we go to games and hang out and do our Zoom hangouts, we get to know each other. I know Tommy personally, great dude. And I'm so happy. Thank you for sharing that with us. George or Jorge, not sure. Mr. Monzo, appreciate the super chat. Should we do screens, jet sweeps, and end arounds? And I got to give credit to this one to Ant from 49ers Cutback. Go follow his show. He's awesome. The Niners cut a lot of that out, because the 49ers' new philosophy this year is no negative plays. We're not doing a lot behind the line of scrimmage. And so second and 11 is horrible. Second and 8, second and 7, great. Like, that's just where it is. So the jet sweeps, the screens, the end arounds, all that stuff have kind of been removed from the Shanahan offense. And to be honest with you, you don't have the personnel. When you had Debo, that was one thing. Sky Moore, you can keep people honest with a couple of his snaps, but not a lot. A little bit more screens, but not very frequent. And so I don't expect, really, really don't expect a lot of that to change. Screens, I would say yes. I don't mind jet sweeps. You can just have the jet sweep motion. Like, you don't even have to give the jet sweep. Just having that motion helps. But they've been doing this shoot motion where Kyle Shanahan lines up basically at the wing at that 45-degree angle. Then he motions back to that fullback thing. That's the new. Now, that doesn't carry the threat of the outside perimeter run like a jet sweep does, or an end around does, or an orbit motion where the slot wide receiver usually goes behind Christian McCaffrey, right? But Shanahan loves that, and the NFL defenses hasn't caught up to that yet. So I don't think we're going to see much changes. I think what the 49ers are is who they're going to continue to be in this playoff stretch. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. I don't expect a whole bunch of brand new personnel groups or seeing Tonjes and Kittle or seeing CMC and Brian Robinson or jet sweeps or like, yeah, a trick play or two, which you saw. They did a trick play in the, you know, the Seahawks game, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of new innovation stuff. You add wrinkles onto what you already do and you already run efficiently to catch teams that are over pursuing the outside zone. They're, you know, trying to stop the inside zone. They're trying to stop the flat routes. And Shanahan's at his best there. That's what makes Shanahan Shanahan, is every single play has five counters built onto that. So not so much the trick plays, but I think that's what we'll see. Corey, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. It's so frustrating that the ball never seems to bounce our way on turnovers. That was the difference of the Seahawks game. And hit Ytir Gross Matos in the freaking face, both hands. Both, nothing. Hands it right back to him. Hits Christian McCaffrey. Palm of both of his hands. Hands it right to the linebacker. Those two plays. You switch those two things. And that's it. Corey goes on to say, fumbles out of the reach, interceptions dropped, etc. Also, with so many problems, do you think it's possible to fix in one offseason? You improve. Injuries help a lot. You have one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. In today's NFL, I don't think you're going to get those for a while. You'll get one of these anomalies maybe every 5 to 6 seasons where there's just this one quote-unquote perfect team that just looks so badass and is unstoppable. I don't think that's really the culture of today's NFL. I don't think it's designed to be that. Parity is what Goodell and all them want. And so I think that this is exactly how the NFL wants the playoffs to be, where there's no clear favorite. There's no clear favorite. Like Seattle, there might be the best team in the NFL. And even if you go to the one seed in the AFC, the Denver Broncos, they both have issues. They both have issues, right? So can you improve? Yeah. Are you going to be as dominant as the 2023 49ers? Probably not. I don't think we're going to see that for a while. You're going to have to hit some home run draft picks and get some more George Kittles, Fred Warners, you know, day two, day three of the draft. Haven't done that in a while. But yeah, the ball bouncing your way. And I say it all the time. We used to say this coaching staff. I told this story. Like, we'd sit around and you get the new coaches and they'd be like, hey, there are a chance we're going to win it all this year. And it's like, dude, we're in October. Like, injuries, grades, transfers, ball's got to bounce your way. Like, you don't know who you're going to be playing against the playoffs. You're not, I mean, Texas football is insane. Even if you are a dominant team, like, hey, you look at Duncanville, where I coached, shoot, they've been to 6 state championships, I think, in 8 seasons, and they won 2. They won 2. And you're talking, I mean, one of the best football programs in the nation every single year. Yeah. But even you look at those games, Duncanville versus North Shore, which they've played each other in 6 state championships, like in 8 years, that's insane. And it's like, dude, even those games came down to a fourth and one, came down to a dropped pass, came down to a pin. Like, the ball has to go your way. And one of the things that I always struggle with is when people reference the one time the Rams won the Super Bowl recently, and they're like, F them picks. They went all in. They won the Super Bowl. Like, why don't the 49ers do that? And they forget how many times the ball had to bounce the way for the Rams to be in that situation. Jaquiski Tartt dropping that interception. Like, it, they don't even get out of the NFC Championship, right? Like, that's over. That's over. You go to the Super Bowl, phantom PI call late and fourth down. Like, if the refs aren't on freaking Kroenke's side, they don't win the Super Bowl. But everybody just says, well, they won the Super Bowl, therefore they push it all in. They won the Super Bowl. Ball's got to go your way. It's not all just, oh, they're the better team. That's not how it works. Luck is a part of it. That's a weird-shaped football that does weird things. Does weird things. Air Dim, what's up, my friend? Appreciate the super chat. He says, longtime fan from Istanbul here. What's up, man? I still believe in the 49ers. In fact, I believe in it now more than I would with the one seed. Ooh, I like that. We always pick the harsh road on our way to victory. Go Niners. I love it. Man, appreciate you listening from afar and your generosity and just your freaking mindset. One, I love that. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Go handle your freaking business, man. Oh, look at this. We got a legend in the house. What's up, Michael? Appreciate you, man. Hope you're doing well, chap. And I hope Kyle isn't bashful about using Brian Robinson up the middle. Man, if there was a game to use Brian Robinson, it was last week. It was last week. He got two carries. He only got 12 carries total. But gosh, man, last week you had movement. Small movement up front in the run game, especially early. And it just, I don't know, man. I felt like if there was ever a game where Brian Robinson should have got some touches, it was last week. Now, you're playing the Eagles, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, all that kind of stuff. They're pretty stout up the middle. So, I don't know. Do you attack the perimeter here? Do you use Brian Robinson up the middle? I like setting the tone. This is a very physical defense that the Eagles are putting out there, and you match physicality with physicality. And as great as Christian McCaffrey is, you know, offensive player of the year, you know, in the conversation, I don't think he's going to win it. Comeback player of the year for sure. Over 2,000 total scrims. Christian McCaffrey is badass. Physical, not really it. That's not his game at this point. Never really was, but he ain't pushing the pile. Thank you, Michael. You are the freaking man, and I really appreciate you and respect you, man. It's been fun interacting on social media. You put out great content. You're a good dude, man. Thank you, Michael. Really, really appreciate you. So let's dive into, let's get real. Let's do this. Let's talk about the full injury report from today, which was, you know, Wednesday's the first reported practice, mandatory reporting practice. Injury report's long. Shocker. Well, let's go over the 49ers injury report and the Eagles right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs, make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. All right, the 49ers injuries, not good, guys. Didn't really get a lot of positive. Did not practice today, Ricky Pearsall. That was the one that was like, man, just get a limited practice in today. 4 days off, really 5 days off because he didn't play on Saturday. Like, they didn't really even practice hard last week. Got some limited work in last week, but it's been 5 days since he's practiced in any fashion. Still not going. So it's like, man, all right, 6 days, dude's had a full week off. We'll see what that looks like. Trent Williams, his hamstring. Kyle was pressed on this. Was that a rest day because he has a practice Wednesday all year. He said, no, it's not. It's still a hamstring. I'm saying Pearsall. I don't know. I can't give an educated number. I'm going to probably say Trent Williams, about 30% chance he plays. A hamstring at that age ain't going to heal quick and that big. Never had one before. I'm doubtful Trent Williams plays this week, which is not good. That's really, if Trent and Ricky Pearsall don't play, I am not going to be betting for the 49ers to win this game. Doesn't mean they can't, but I'm not going to put my money on the line or other people's money on the line. Can they win? Yes. Without Trent, without Pearsall, that just completely hinders the offense. And we've seen what happens when the offense don't work. Doesn't matter even if the defense does put out a decent effort, which we're going to talk about at the end of the show. Anyway, D Winters, ankle, not playing, and just awful. I would argue before D Winters got hurt, that was the worst game from a linebacker I've seen. Way worse than anything Devondre Campbell ever did in the 49ers jersey, and I don't like Devondre Campbell. D Winters coming off back-to-back-to-back bad games. And I know that one play versus the Colts was awesome, that pick six, but D Winters, like, I think Garrett Wallow is better than D Winters. I really, really do. Like, he at least plays hard, and he reads, and he reacts, and, like, he doesn't just sit there and watch his responsibility just leave him over and over again. I would prefer Garrett Wallow over D Winters moving forward, even if D Winters is healthy. Now, do I think the 49ers want that? No, but I cannot stress how bad 53 and 27 are defensively. I just can't. It's almost unwatchable. It's almost unwatchable, man. Yeah, we need new linebackers. I do agree. The good news is you get Fred Warner back eventually. I doubt he plays this year. Maybe if you make the Super Bowl. I don't even think he's going to play the NFC Championship. I hope I'm wrong, but I want to be honest with what my expectations are. I hope he does. Filthy Casual says, wow, worse than Campbell. Didn't think that was possible. Yeah, it was worse. It's so bad. It's such a net negative on every play. Run game, angles, over-pursuing on the backside, missing the backside gap, not getting to his zone drops, man coverage sometimes okay. 53 is bad, guys. He was propped up by Fred Warner playing next to him, and as soon as that left, and it sucks because you'd like to see an increase in play in subfield, whether that's the run game, run keys, pass keys, getting to the flats. He could run fast. He is bad. He's really, really, really bad. Anyway, take that for what you will. We need a lot of new things. That is great. Right here, Stefan, John, you need to come to Philly. Going to be fun winning in that stadium. Hey, I've been there when they've won in that stadium. That is awesome. And Stefan, everybody that's going to this game, man, have a blast. I love it. You guys are the faithful. I did 9 trips this year, man. I wore myself out. I had to have a break getting sick. The wife who lets me do, she gives me so much room to go do what I want to do. She was not on board with me doing a trip this week. But I told her, I was like, look, if it's these cities, I'm probably going to go, but I ain't going to Philly. So sorry, not going to go, but I am working right now. If the Niners win, probably would go back to Seattle, right? But could maybe go to Chicago, could go to LA, could go to Carolina. So we're working behind the scenes, setting that up. But man, go represent us. You're the best of us, Stefan. And I appreciate you. And yeah, I get it. I get it. Lukey says, Nick Martin, another Borland situation? Nah, man, it was a bad concussion, and you do what you got to do and protect the... Like, you knew when you drafted Nick Martin, the whole plan was this is a long-term play. This is somebody that didn't even play much last year. Had 1 year starting experience, but just fit what you want out of a Will linebacker for Robert Saleh to a T. You look at who... Robert Saleh is responsible for Azeez Al-Shaair, Dre Greenlaw, Jamien Sherwood. That dude, if anybody in the NFL could just sit there and go, hey, this is what I want at that position. Dude, it's Robert Saleh. That dude's the Will linebacker whisperer. You can throw Fred Warner into that equation if you want, but that's Mike Backer, right? Nick Martin was always, this is a long-term development play. And I think that they realized with the concussion, like, dude, this guy's not ready to get contribute from a defensive perspective this year. Let him get better, focus on his health, get the mindset right, allow him just to take care of himself, which was smart. You know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not in those meetings, but you don't F around with concussions so that you don't have a Borland situation. And, you know, we had Nick Martin on the show. Dude was awesome. Dude was great. He's got the mentality for it. He just doesn't have the experience of playing time for it. So don't write off Nick Martin for this season. Yeah. But the plan is Fred Warner at Mike, Nick Martin at Will, figure somebody else out at Sam, right? You figure that out, man. We'll deal with that. So you do have at least, you got the best linebacker in the NFL locked up long-term. You got to figure the other stuff out. You got to figure it all out. And yeah, filthy casual. How did Kendricks look on tape? Way better than anything Tatum Bethune has played all year. Way better than D Winters has played all year. Eric Kendricks on tape looked good. He understands inside out leverage. He understands backside linebacker play, slow play away, and like doesn't over pursue things. His coverage drops are good. He's always been like, I think they wanted Kendricks to play earlier. He just showed up, looked at the 49ers training staff and got injured because that's what the 49ers training staff does. Calves and hamstrings are preventable. Calves and hamstrings are preventable. Doesn't mean they don't happen, but shoot. Trent Williams, hamstring. Keon White, hamstring. Luke Gifford, I think he's an ankle. Like, Eater, hamstring. Like, dude, preventable. Coaching staff got to be fired. Like, the strength and conditioning staff has to be fired. Has to be fired. Has to be fired. Has to be fired. And I'm not one of those guys. But you think you suck at your job, just understand there is members on the 49ers strength and conditioning staff that have been employed by the 49ers since 2017. You have 8 out of 9 seasons, top 5 most injured in the NFL. Hamstrings, calves. Get them out. Get them out. Go do something else. Not everybody's supposed to do what they do. Go do something else. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Big Brick. I disagree, Chapman. Winters has done some good things this year. Yes, he has. You play every single snap on defense, there's going to be some good plays. And he has made some. And he made a couple decent plays this week. Dude, that dude, literally the biggest plays of the game. Dude, comes scot-free. And if you were watching the live show, I was talking about 3rd and 4. Robert Saleh calls the perfect blitz. Perfect coverage. You drop into an inverted cover 2 from an all-out blitz show, and you design D Winters to come straight through the A-gap untouched. Doesn't even make contact with the quarterback. The same play he got hurt, by the way. Like, and this is just one play. D Winters' tape is awful, man. Yeah, there's been some good plays throughout the year. I hope so. How many plays has he played? Let's see here. Because, like, this is the truth of the NFL. Like, nobody is amazing all the time. Nobody's terrible all the time. Shoot, 27 makes plays, right? Like, that's just where it is. But, like, D Winters has played 993 snaps this year. He has a 59 grade on PFF. You start at 60, which means he's had more negative plays than he's had positive plays. Leads the team in missed tackles. He's a linebacker. Leads the team in missed tackles. Leads the team in receptions allowed. Doesn't lead the team in yards allowed. Giving up 5 touchdowns. He's got 1 pick. He's got 4 penalties. D Winters is not a good player at his current state. Could change. And you know, I don't like writing players off, but for this year, 53 is done. D-U-N. You get healthy, you back somebody out, go play some special teams. Dude, no way. Cam's dad, thanks for the super chat. Robert Saleh, odds of leaving? Man, whenever that Ravens job opened up, it was the first time where I was like, wow, if I was Robert Saleh, I would take that job. Now, are they even going to interview him? Probably going to go offensive. But there is not another head coaching job out there. If I was Robert Saleh or Robert Saleh's agent, I would say go. And so, again, it's the trifecta. You don't get more than 2 head coaching chances. So if Robert Saleh craps the bed again, it's over. You're a coordinator. You're Norv Turner for the rest of your life. You're Josh McDaniels for the rest of your life. Not a bad life, but Robert Saleh has made it clear he does want to be a head coach. You got to have a franchise quarterback in place. Didn't have that in New York. Got to have a quality owner. Didn't have that in New York. got to have a general manager that you want, or that is a quality general manager that either you get a hire or whatever. Like, and so like you look across the NFL, no job checks all three of those boxes except for the Ravens. Now, do the Ravens want him? That's a different thing. We'll have to figure that out. They're not allowed to interview Robert Saleh this week because he's in the wild card. The only playoff teams that can interview for GM and head coaching positions are the one seeds if you have a bye week. So Seattle, that's why Clint Kubiak's name's everywhere. He's allowed to interview for all those jobs. And the Broncos, that's it. Nobody else can. So odds of Robert Saleh leaving, I'm going to say 20%. I think it's relatively low. I think Saleh comes back. And I think that's important. One, because I want Robert Saleh back. One, because I want Robert Saleh with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and all the rookies that he spent all this capital on to work with them. And two, if he's with the 49ers for two or more seasons, then you get the compensation pick if he leaves. I want it all. I want it all. That's what it is. Should Cowing play this week? No, he will not. And Kyle Shanahan even said, like, he hasn't practiced since training camp. Now he's in shape and all that stuff, but nah, Cowing ain't playing, man. I doubt Cowing is activated at any point. Even if the 49ers made it to the Super Bowl, I don't think Cowing would be activated on the active roster. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Kaiser White should make an impact this week in Philly. That's rough too. Now, Kaiser White's very different than Jacob Cowing. Part of me says pump the brakes a little bit on Kaiser this week. But longtime vet, he's played under Gus Bradley before. He knows this scheme and system, different coaching points, calls, whatever else. And he even talked about today, like, you know, you got to kind of wait and see what that looks like. But I think special teams, backup, sure. I doubt you start him, but you got to see what happens. Today's his first practice. He goes out there and shows, man, he knows what to do and he, you know, looks the part. Dude, he's a thumper. He's a thumper. There's no doubt about that. And you know, let's finish out, you know, the practice report. Okay. Did not practice Ricky Pearsall, Trent Williams, D Winters, Keon White. Limited, Luke Gifford, Kittle, Etergros Matos. Then you look at the Eagles, they got everybody back. Lane Johnson practicing for the first time in 2 months. Jalen Phillips back. N'Kobe Dean back after missing a lot of times. Jalen Carter back after missing a lot. They rested everybody, Sin. And they got everybody. They got everybody back. So you got to beat a team at their best. So who gives a shit? It's the playoffs. Don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for the Niners. Nobody else is. Nobody else is. So you got to go out there, man. You got to go out there and you got to make a play. Right here, Notorious GAV. What's up, man? He says, I'm trying to star these. I messed up my chat a little bit. He says, Chappers, how worried about Jalen Hurts punishing us with his legs when we run the wide nine? Actually, it's funny because a lot of people talk about like 3-4, 4-3, whatever else. Today's NFL is multiple. Like Vic Fangio is a 3-4 coach. They run the wide nine a lot too. Like, I'm not concerned about the wide nine versus Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he does the tush push up the middle. Jalen Hurts runs outside. The wide nine is not going to affect that too much. Now, him stepping up through that C gap sometimes, then escape it outside, sure. You got to make Jalen Hurts beat you with his arm, and you got to keep him inside. The wide nine helps with that because the wide nine should make the quarterback step up. But Bryce Huff has just been god awful for two straight months. Literally no impact. The tape is just like up 4-7s out there. All right, we're not going to get solid run play. We're definitely not going to get pass rush. Teams get a focus on him and neutralize him. He's not the premier pass rusher that, you know, he was that 1 year, and there's no counterpoints. But the wide nine does not bother me with Jalen Hurts at all. Like that, yeah, it's not an issue for me. Yeah, right here. Sonia, she says, are you guys coming back to the Giants Stadium? Y'all are able to get the parking lot to yourselves, right? We were, but we paid for it. That was one of the most expensive trips we've ever done. It did not make money. Now, we don't do this to make money, but it's hard working your rear end off, flying across the country and doing all this and then losing money, which did take place that trip. That is hard. So I don't know. I'm a little bit out on the Giants trip. It was just so expensive. Not a lot of tailgating options. So we had to, you know, pay top dollar, and we ate check. So as of now, I went through all the trips that we want to do again, Dallas, Kansas City, Atlanta, 100% doing those. And then our division opponents. And then if there's a Mexico trip, so if New York falls, cause I love that city and the fans were awesome out there, but it's kind of hard to justify, hey, wife, I'm going to go fly across the country, be gone, be exhausted whenever I get back, work my tail end off, oh, and lose money because it's just so expensive to host these things out there. Makes it a little hard, but I'm not writing it off yet. We'll have to see how the schedule comes out and figure things out. So, yeah, hopefully that makes sense. Now, let's get to the title of the episode. Is the 49ers defense really that bad? We've talked, you know, microcosm. We've talked small, microeconomic. Let's talk macro. Let's look at the big picture. And shout out to my man, Tom C, who gave me this idea. And I'll include you guys in the conversation just after this. But if you're going to any game this year, next year, whatever, got to use TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. Shout out to my man, Tom C. He's a friend, big time supporter, big reason why we get to do what we do here. I have been really, really hard on the defense. And, you know, Tom's been listening for a while. And he's like, dude, but you're the one that always says like 17 points. And you look at the box score of the Seattle Seahawks game. You held that team to 13 points. They're the second highest scoring team in the NFL. And the 49ers defense held them to 13 points. Now, I'm going through the tape. And there's nuance is important. Context is important. Always. Like box score watchers, which Tom is not. Can look at that and say, man, 49ers defense played great. Dude, I'm watching that tape. I'm breaking down this tape this morning. It's like some of the worst consistent tape I've ever seen. You just have errors everywhere from defensive tackles to defensive ends to Mike linebacker to Will linebacker to the nickel to the safeties to the corners to like literally that was hard tape to watch. And I remember one play. It was a cutback play, right? So the Seattle Seahawks stretched the ball to the right, and then they hit the cutback and just make so many yards. Both defensive tackles played it horribly. Etur Gross-Matos, who's the backside end, just ran himself out of the play. They didn't even block him. He chased after Sam Darnold after he saw Darnold get Etur Gross-Matos, a bad football player. Dude should just rush the passer in pass rushing situations only from the inside and can do nothing else. He's really, really bad, consistent. Like, negative things happen when 94 is out there. Both defensive tackles wrong. 94, horribly wrong. D Winners, the backside backers, over-pursued all the way outside the numbers. Never even knew who had the ball or where the cutback was. Both safeties were wrong, and it was just like, good gosh, there are seven players out of 11 that played this horribly wrong. And it's just a stretch run play. Like, it's not even complex. Not even complex. But 7 out of 11 guys were terrible. Just awful. It was so bad. It was so bad. But then you hold the Seattle Seahawks to 0 for 3 in the red zone. That's incredible. You have up 13 points. That's incredible. You should win that game every single time. So did the defense do enough to be, quote unquote, good to only give up 13 points? The answer for me is no. But let's look at it through an objective point scoring approach, right? And I say this all the time, like during the Shanahan era, and this goes back to 2023 as well. 17 points seems to be the demarcation line for 49ers offense. When they don't score 17 points, they lose. It's weird. Now, the NFL average for wins, I think, is like 19.2 or something like that. Dale says subjective. They sucked. I like that. Thank you. So Tom went through all season and tried to create a win-loss responsibility based off just this very simple metric. 17 points. If the defense gives up over 17 points and you lose, that's defensive fault. The offense doesn't score 17 points, you lose, it's offense's fault. Now, the counterpoint to that, defense doesn't give up 17 points and you win, that win is the responsibility of the defense. And same thing offensively. You win, score over 17 points, that is there. And it's funny because the way it came out, pretty indicative of the year. Loss responsibility, this is games the 49ers lost and gave up over 17 points. The defense responsible for two times you lost and didn't score 17. Offense accounts for two. Defense accounts for three. Offense accounts for two. Win responsibility. Five wins fall on this defense. Now, two of those happened in the first 3 weeks when you had Bosa, when you had Mikal Williams, when you had Fred Warner. Like, that is important. And so you've only had three defensive wins in the past 14 weeks, 14 games played. Offensively, you had seven. I thought that that was really, really cool. And shout out to Tom C for putting that out there. And, you know, this loss does not fall. The Seattle Seahawks loss does not fall on the defense. Does not. Did they participate in it? Sure. Should they have scored 20-plus points? Sure. But they're also the same defense that had first and goal from the one and held them to no points. They had first and goal on the one, and they didn't score on that drive. Horrible defense. Horrible out there. But still worked. A lot of that. Sam Darnold had a really, really, really bad game. Really, really bad game. Really bad game. But again, you look at that. The loss responsibility, defense three, offense two. The win responsibility, defense five. Almost half of those in the first 3 weeks. Not having a lot of those lately. Offense seven. That's where you get this, the whole schedule. I thought that was kind of cool. So is the 49ers defense really that bad? My answer is yes. The film answer is hell yes. Box score answer says, well, maybe not so bad. You do have two single digit, you know, wins defensively in the past 2 months with all the injuries, with the whatever else. Now you got to say, well, who'd you play? But one of those, shoot, you did it to the Carolina Panthers. They're a playoff team. I know there's got to be an asterisk next to that, but yeah, Logan, the tape was horrible. It was really, really, really bad. Yeah, it was really, really bad. Anyway, that's what's going to happen. Let's see here. Hot take as well, John. I don't think Bosa has anything magical anymore. I disagree 100%. He is probably the best two-way defensive end. He's one of the most consistent. That dude is so good versus the run. Like, I don't think anybody will ever give Bosa credit for how good he is against the run consistently. He makes everything easy on the defensive tackles, linebackers, safeties. He makes everything so smooth. He is so good. I think Bosa is magical. Like, Bosa never won with elite speed or bend. Dude is a football savant. I know he sounds like Eeyore and everybody thinks he's an idiot. That dude knows football. That dude knows ball. So that's okay. Disagreements are great, Dale. Second part, he says, it won't do anything but overrun plays like almost all of last year. Disagree with this take 100%. Warner is the one that matters. Now, I do, like, you want to say, like, who's the better football player? Fred Warner is. Who plays the more important position? Nick Bosa is. If I could have one of them back, I'm taking Fred Warner. Fred Warner's a Hall of Famer pretty much as is. Nick Bosa is not there. And I understand Nick Bosa won Defensive Player of the Year. Fred Warner has not. But, yeah, the more important position is Nick Bosa. More important position is Nick Bosa. If I could have one back right now, I'm taking Fred Warner. If I had to have one player to build my team around, I'm taking Fred Warner, which is funny because Bosa's almost paid twice as much. But I think that the gap between how great Fred Warner is. I think Nick Bosa is a top 3 to 8 defensive end in the NFL, especially what he does in the run game. I don't think there is any doubt who the best linebacker in the NFL is when healthy. I don't think there's any doubt. Like, I don't think that you could make any argument that Nick Bosa is the best defensive end in the league, not with Myles Garrett, 95, out there. Like, nobody. I don't think anybody, not even Bosa's fam, probably not even Nick Bosa, would say he's better than Myles Garrett. He doesn't have the athleticism. Myles Garrett's one of the most athletic humans on the face of the planet. You know, he went to Arlington Martin, and I was helping work a basketball game for a coach that got sick at Duncanville, and I saw this dude freaking doing windmill dunks as a freaking freshman, and it was playing basketball, and it was just like, who the hell? And then, oh, yeah, Myles Garrett. Yeah, that's who it is. You knew who that guy was as a freshman. And Dale, I appreciate you, man. And disagreements are always okay. And if you're out on the Bosa thing because of the injuries, I get that. I am not. And I see all the people with the trade Bosa, trade Pearsall. I am not in that realm with either one. Even Ricky Pearsall. I get all the injuries, and I get the frustration, and I get missing when it matters most. You had that dude 3 more years on a rookie contract. He ain't costing you anything. Now, the draft capital and all that, that hurts. But, like, you know he's a scheme fit. He just got to stay healthy. And that's a big question, but whatever. But, like, nah, you're not trading that. You know it fits, and it costs you nothing against the cap. And you have him for 3 more years. Like, I ain't trading that. And I'm not trading Bosa. You already gave out all that dead money. Like, why would you trade Bosa? Like, Bosa's a perfect fit in every single defensive scheme that exists in the NFL. I ain't trading that. You already paid it. Now, maybe you don't re-up the deal or whatever else, but he's signed for several more. How long is Bosa signed? Sorry, I want to make sure I'm accurate on this, but I think it's a long damn time. Nick Bosa is currently signed, through 2028. So you have 3 more seasons that you've already paid him, and he's not even top 5 paid position at it. He's not even top 8 paid position. So that deal is working out. Like, you're fine. So, and again, I know I'm probably in the minority on those two because we overreact when the injuries happen and you throw up your hands, and I understand that. But no, like, I'm sticking with those two, period. Lyle, thank you for the super chat. John, in your opinion, if Kyle don't win a Super Bowl soon, how long would you give him before the Niners need to make a change at head coach? I'm not a Super Bowl or bust mindset person. I don't think Kyle is. I want the coach that is going to give me the best chance to win in the playoffs. I could think of nobody better than Kyle Shanahan in the NFL today. Maybe Sean McVay. That's a maybe. But you got a guy. I mean, you like, I don't put like, okay, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't win a Super Bowl in 5 years, then you get rid of him. I do. Like, does he give you an advantage every single week heading into a game? The answer is absolutely resounding yes. Is he the best coach ever? No. Is he the best coach in the NFL right now? He's in the conversation. Literally has been a finalist for Coach of the Year. Not once, not twice, not 3 times. This would be 4 times. 4 times in 9 years. He ain't won it. And he ain't won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying I want Shanahan to have an indefinite whatever, but that expiration on the Shanahan coach in the Niners has not even approached yet, right? Like he is fine. If Jed York gave Kyle Shanahan a 6-year extension this year, I would be very happy with it. I mean, you could move on from coaches if it gets bad, whether there's an extension or not. Just ask the Cardinals. Just ask so many different coaching, you know, NFL teams out there. Like, there's not a lot of – the NFL stands for not for long. And you're seeing that right now. I mean, shoot, John Harbaugh is a Super Bowl winning head coach and one of the most wins ever in NFL history. He has the record for most road playoff wins ever in NFL history. That dude just got fired because of field goal missing. No, I'm keeping Shanahan, man. Until I don't feel he gives the team an advantage week in and week out. And that dude is so obsessive. I think Shanahan's a hell of a coach. And if you erased, you fired every single NFL coach, every single NFL coach, all 32, and you wiped all the rosters clean, and the teams had a draft, right? 1 through 32. Who do you want your coach to be? Shanahan ain't falling out of the top one or two, period. He would be the first or second. It would be McVay or it would be Shanahan, period. Period. Not Ben Johnson. Not Ben Johnson. It ain't going to be freaking Kansas City's coach who's old as hell and whatever. It ain't going to be him. It's going to be McVay and Shanahan. I don't mind if you take McVay first. There ain't nobody else taking anybody over McVay or Kyle Shanahan because of how young they are and the advantage that they give their quarterbacks in the offense. There ain't nobody. Nobody. Like, so yeah, I ain't moving on from Kyle, period. I'm curious. I'm really behind in the chat, so I apologize. I'm scrolling. I'm trying my hardest to stay a little bit. Oh, wow. I've got some supers I missed. Let's see here. I hear you on that. Those are the emotional thumbs. Yeah. His coaching job this year has been exceptional. Amazing. John Harbaugh's firing was stupid, if you ask me. Ravens fans going to be reminiscing about his years and a couple of... I think he lost some of the offensive players. I think Lamar, Zay Flowers, a couple other guys, like, I think that they wanted to change it up offensively. Yeah, I think that was done. That dude's going to have his choice of where to go. Yeah, how long does Andy Reid have left? Like, nobody's... Andy Reid is old. Like, how old is Andy Reid? Like, that's the thing. Yeah, you could sit there and say, oh, I'll take Andy Reid. Yeah, how's his team doing this year, by the way? Anybody know? Anybody know? How are they doing, right? Everybody wants to fire Shanahan after a 6-10 season. What's happening? Nobody with Andy Reid? Andy Reid's 71 years old, ladies and gentlemen. He's 71 years old. That's why I'm saying it's not there. And Avtar, I'm going to push back against this too. The biggest problem is drafting for the 49ers. If that's the case, why is it not one, not two, but three front office personnel drafting people for the 49ers are already getting requests to interview as general manager? Three of them. I don't think the 49ers are a bad drafting team. Even recently, have they had some bad drafts? Yes. Compare them, even just go 2022 or 2021 if you want to go back to the trade draft. I think that they have been an average drafting team since that period. But you can't throw out the Brock Purdy thing. You look at all the quarterbacks that are starting in the playoffs. First overall pick, first overall pick, first overall pick, first overall pick. 262nd pick. That's because of Kyle Shanahan. Was he the one that identified him? No. But he's the one that turned him into what he is. So drafting is a problem. I think free agency. I think the 49ers have sucked in free agency. Yeah, there are major problems in drafting. You drafted a kicker third. You drafted a punter fourth. You drafted Cam Law two, Ty Davis Price. Yeah, we can go all and on and on. But there's also a lot of hits in there, too. We always complain about the third round. Dominic Pooney's fucking home run. Sorry, freaking home run. I don't know. Kyle, right here, Sin. She says, I'm pro Kyle. Thank you for the super chat. I remember the dark days. Thank you. Old hats remember. Remember, Philly gave Andy Reid 17 years. And then he lost the locker room, which, man, you look at the off-the-field stuff that Andy Reid's been around at Philly, and, like, you don't have that with Kyle. And I know for some people that don't matter, but, I mean, you've had murders, you've had suicides, you've had child abuse, you've had spousal abuse, you've had unending domestic abuse, you've had so much. Like, Andy Reid loves that shit. And I hate to say that, but, like, him and Brett Veach don't care. Don't care. And that matters to me. As part of the faithful and who buys my children 49ers stuff, it matters to me what you put out there on the field. That matters to me. Yeah, I know some people are like, oh, you win at all costs. Who cares? That, you got murders and suicides from your players. Mm-mm. That matters to me. I love football more than anybody I know, ever. But nah, what are you talking about? Like, nah, like, I am really, 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 really bad against that. Notorious GAV, and then they fired him and set up a dynasty. They didn't. They did not. Now, they have the greatest general manager in sports, and... like, or maybe you're talking dynasty with Kansas City. Yeah, you got the best quarterback in the NFL. Andy Reid never won until he had the best quarterback in the NFL. And even though he has the best quarterback in the NFL now, not even in the playoffs. Not even in the playoffs. Like, nobody is the best. Nobody is the best. Like, these coaches, you've got to have guys, you've got to have guys that can put your team in a position to compete for a Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan's that by definition. By definition. 8-4 in the playoffs. Are you freaking kidding me? 8-4 in the playoffs. And he's done it with multiple quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't know, man. Andy has 3 Super Bowls. How long did that take? How long did that take? And he didn't do it until he had the best, I would argue the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, and I would also argue the best quarterback in the NFL. Andy Reid's a great freaking coach, but he's 71 and missed the playoffs this year. Yeah. I don't know, man. I take that for what you will. We'll see there. Let's see here. I got a couple more super chats. Want to get to. You guys are awesome. Love that question, Lyle, by the way. Corey, appreciate you, man. You think they go left tackle if Trent stays, if not a new defensive end? Probably not. Haven't drafted an offensive tackle in 4 consecutive drafts. Only team in the NFL to do so. Haven't drafted a center in over a decade. Only team in the NFL to do so. No, I don't think that they do. I still don't think they'll value the offensive line. I think that's one of the philosophical problems of this front office coaching staff. I just talked about how much I love Kyle Shanahan. This I absolutely despise. Trent's coming back, by the way. I do fully expect him to come back, but I don't think they'll go left tackle. I do not. I don't think they'll go offensive line till later. I don't expect that to change. Dale, appreciate Super Chat, my man. Can we reload trading some vets? Is my thought. So many holes, so many bad draft picks. I mean, we don't even hit 50% and they don't play lately anyways. Can't take on those salaries. Younger, cheaper. That motto ain't going to change, guys. I would like, and my biggest critique this entire offseason was like, I would really like some more veteran depth. My favorite free agent signing was Mac Jones, even though I hated him. My second favorite free agent signing was DeMarcus Robinson. These cheap, viable, veteran experienced players that aren't all stars, not top paid, whatever, but can come in and provide depth and backup. And man, DeMarcus Robinson was our number one wide receiver last week. Mac Jones goes 5-3. Like, I am with you, Dale. I don't want the high priced free agents. That's killed us. They've made a lot of really poor signings, but get some quality free agent veteran backups. That's what I want. I'm with you there, man. I'm with you. Cole, what's up, brother? He says, how do you feel about Niners wearing black in the future? I hate it. Niners playing gold helmets, period. Yeah, I'm not a purist. Like, I think the 49ers have some of the best uniforms in pro sports. And I love the gold helmet. I do want it. Like, I wanted them to do something besides the SF on the side. I really did. Like, I love the pickaxe look. You know, and it goes perfect with the 49ers theme. Like, you could do some really cool stuff with that. I like alternative uniforms every now and then. I'm not like Oregon or Seattle and just the crap that they spew out. I'm not one of them. But I like the old black throwbacks, too. Now, watching film this week's been hard, especially defensively. You don't know who the hell those guys are. You can't read the numbers. But I love the rivalry jerseys. I really, really do. I think they look freaking awesome. I'm a Longhorn fan who I think have some of the greatest uniforms in pro sports. And I don't like changing up that stuff either. And man, those all white Longhorn Stormtrooper. Oh my God. They're the freaking best. They're right up there with the 94 whites. I like white uniforms, but I don't mind the once or twice a season throwing something cool out there. I like that. I think the fans like that. I think the kids like that. I bought 30 rivalry jerseys, and we took them to our first road trip, and we sold out the first time. Like, people are eating it up. And so, like, I'm cool with it. I'm not one of those, like, you always keep the classics, and that should be your staple. But with 17 games now and, like, all that stuff, like, man, it's cool. Why not? Throw out something fun. I would like to see a gold helmet with something different than the traditional SF just for like one game. So they did the all black helmets, which I think look fire, but man, it would have been so cool And a lot of people disagree with me here. I get that. But I'm not saying like long term. I'm just saying just for like one game, maybe. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority there, and that's okay. Sportsman like, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Your linebacker's tweet went semi-viral. I sent it out on Reddit twice. Perna highlighted on his wild card power ranking. Man, that's awesome. Every backer on the 53. Well, one, thank you so much for helping support what we do and like what we do. I think the tweet was something along the lines of every single 49ers linebacker on the initial 53-man roster is out or on IR. And yeah, I got picked up and a lot of people plagiarize it. I know it's a good something where people literally copy and paste the exact same word punctuation format and then tweet it out as their own or put it on Instagram or whatever. Yeah. So thank you first off. And yeah, our goal is never to go viral. Our goal is to inform you guys and increase the fan experience, have fun together and build a community. That's it. That's it. And sometimes you get some of those viral good, and sometimes you get some of those viral bad. We've done both. I would prefer never to have viral anything ever again. Not what I want or what I need. anyway, but I do want to say thank you, and I appreciate you. Right, yeah, right here. Google 49ers logo. Tell me if you see black in there. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I get the purists. I get the purists. I really do. Leon, I would like them to trade back for a second. This is going to be a debate all offseason. There's other solid backup options, Sam Howell, Minshew, Cousins, different stuff out there. If you can get a top 50 pick for Mac Jones, I take it 100%. 100%. Yeah, right here, Crimson. He says, I like the black Matt helmet. The uniform, not so much. I liked them both, man. I really, really did. Oh, what's up, Shane? Just hopped in, saw the title. Seems like it. The 49ers defense is bad. There you go. Oh, that's awesome. You are awesome. You are the best, man. No, there is no black in the team logo. There is white, isn't there? Yeah, there is white. But I don't mind. I don't mind. I like different every now and then. Every now and then. I don't want to do it all the time. But my favorite jersey is the old black throwbacks, which a lot of people hate. The Navarro Bowman. I got an autograph when he came to our event. Like, that's my favorite jersey I own. It's my number one. And a lot of people are like, I'll wear it. They'll be like, yeah, well, I don't like those jerseys. I'm like, I don't like your face. I didn't ask you. I wear this for me. Navarro Bowman's my second favorite 49ers player of all time. And I thought those black jerseys looked cool as hell. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Miami would gladly pay their 43 pick for Mac Jones. Let's look at this. Let's look at the quarterback needy teams. Okay, let's do this. I think that this is fun. I know we're past an hour. I don't care. The 2026 draft. So I said I would trade Mac Jones for a top 50 pick. So let's go to pick 50, which is now finalized because the playoff teams are out. And so these are finalized. The Minnesota Vikings own the 50th pick. If there is a team that Mac Jones fits and has been brought up more, it is them. I 100% would swap that 50 pick for Mac Jones. They pair Mac Jones with JJ Terrace McCarthy. I can't stand that dude. I have Justin Jefferson in Dynasty and like completely ruined that guy. Anyway, I'll keep going, but Minnesota 50th overall pick, swap that 100%. I think that is awesome. 49 Detroit. No. Atlanta 48. Probably not, because they have Michael Penix, they have Kirk Cousins, and they just reworked Cousins' deal to where they could trade that or keep that long term, and we'll have to see what happens with their new coach and whatever else. But I would take 48 pick if Atlanta wanted to. I doubt that they would. Indianapolis, yeah, they don't have a quarterback. And now Daniel Jones is a free agent. They have no top-tier picks, because they traded for Sauce Gardner's like idiots and still kept their general manager, Chris Ballard, who I think is one of the worst general managers in the NFL. One playoff win since 2017. Like, he's been there as long. They've never won the division since he's been there, and they have one playoff win. I would take that. Tampa Bay 46. No. Baltimore 45. They're not interested. Jets 44. Yeah, I don't know what the Jets' plans are. They have the second overall pick, so they'll probably go quarterback at number two. But shoot, they've done that before with Zach Wilson. How'd that work out? Miami 43. That's the example you brought up. Yes. New Orleans 42. I doubt that they do. New Orleans has the number eight overall pick. Tyler Shuggs looked awesome. And they still have Spencer Rattler. Like, I doubt that they would do it. Cincinnati 41. No. Kansas City 40. No. Cleveland 39. Maybe. Cleveland has pick six overall. And 39 overall. They have so many young quarterbacks. Like, they're just a disaster. But if they want to give us pick 39, I would. Houston 38, no. Giants 37, no. Raiders 36, no. They'll go Mendoza 1, probably. Tennessee 35, no. Ooh, 34 Arizona. What are they going to do? They're picking third. Do they stick with Kyler? Do they stick with Brissett? Do they go? Yeah, I mean, I would take that. Jets 33. We already talked about them, too. Man, if you get the 33rd pick from the Jets, but they have the second pick too. I don't know, but that's fun talk. Yeah, that's fun talk. I want to keep Mac Jones. I would, but if you give me a top 50, and that's usually, and the reason why I say top 50, like, why is this arbitrary number? What about 51? When we do our draft boards every single year, there is a clear line of demarcation. There's usually, like, this year was low. There's like five blue chippers, and then like pick like the number 11 player and the number 45. Pick your poison. Pick your poison. Yeah, some guys have more upside or a cleaner evaluation or injury history, or their off the field leadership's incredible or whatever. But like, there, it's tiered rankings. There's like five blue chips that are just like, whoo. And then there's about 40 guys that are just like, not a big difference. But if you tell me you get an Alfred Collins type player for four seasons as a second round pick over Mac Jones, who you're only going to have for one more year, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And we got the offseason. We'll dive into all that. Yeah, and you add on to that. Thank you, Avtar. Miami is also looking at our front office guys for GM. They're interviewing six guys for general manager, the Miami Dolphins. Three of them are 49ers front office personnel. Three out of six. Now, if Harbaugh gets that job, that could change things. But if it's Mike McDaniel and one of our three front office guys, I think Mac could make sense. And let's see what other Miami has picks. 11, not, they're not going to trade that. 43, 75, 87, 91. They got a lot of third rounders. Yeah, I don't know. That would be cool. That would be cool. This is a fun show. Hopefully I upset everybody. Hopefully you have fun. We're all better people for being here, hopefully. Anyway, love you guys. You are incredible. Thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George 365, Corey Robbins, Dorian Campbell. Man, it's going to be a fun week. Still got some more time. Be live tomorrow with 49ers Cutback and the coach approach. If you have some questions you really want us to go over on the show, email us 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, you guys are amazing. And shoot, as always, stay strong, faithful.